Well, welcome everybody. Today we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments, looking at commandment number 7, do not commit adultery. Thank you, Kate and Guy, for giving me that one. Yes, and going away. Hot potato. No. Today we're going to look at this topic and look at it through the lens of how we can affair-proof our marriage. So we'll start out, as I like to do. Here's the references that I will be referring to. So feel free to take a photo and take some time this week to go through it and dig deeper into this topic that we're discussing and how you can affair-proof your marriage. Also, on the right-hand side, you'll see some resources and support, because the good news, church, is that God has designed the church to be a support for each other. You do not have to go through the challenges alone. There are resources there. We're going to do the Alpha Marriage course. There's also pastoral counseling, professional marriage counseling. I'm a big believer in counseling. I married one. So it is a good thing. So please, you don't have to go through this alone. And so avail yourself to those resources and come to us after the service if you want to have some of those resources. All right? So we'll start out with some definitions. Marriage is a lifelong covenant union established by God in which one man and one woman leave their families and are joined together and become one flesh, reflecting God's relationship with his people. Adultery is having sex with somebody who's not your husband or wife. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Right? So I want to start out with some good news, is that God has designed marriage and sex inside the marriage to be a wonderful, fulfilling, and successful union. God has designed marriage, and in Him we can affair-proof our marriage to enjoy it as God has intended it to be. That's good news. I also want to tell you that all of us come from very different backgrounds. And some of us might find this topic difficult, challenging, maybe a bit confronting, but the good news is you're in the right place. You're in the right place because whether you are here to tell you, and you can say that you have seen God's plan for marriage successful and, you know, 50 years of marriage and everything's going great, fantastic. You can support others. You can testify to God's truth of how He's designed marriage. And you can support others as they go through this journey. And if you're here and you've experienced the destruction and the devastation of affairs and that betrayal, God's healing is here. God's grace is here. And if you are cheating on your husband and wife or wife currently, or contemplating it, and look, the grass is pretty, looks greener over on that side of the fence, God's grace and His forgiveness and His power is here too. So no matter where you are on the spectrum, God's love is here, God's grace is here. And let me just tell you, your fellow journeymen, people on the journey are here too, right? Because the truth is that we are all sinners saved by grace. There is no condemnation here. There is no finger pointing here. There is no self-righteous smugness. Verily I say unto thee, I have never lustfully looked upon a maiden. Never have I ever. No. Because the thing is, when Jesus raised the bar on adultery and he said, I tell you that if you looked at a woman lustfully, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. No healthy man in this room would say, never happened. I will not pick up the first stone, you know, to say, I've never have I sinned, right? You are among people who have had the same challenges as you, who have the same difficulties. And the good news is that we are all sinners saved by grace, right? Who else can say that amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me? I once was lost, now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The old has passed away. The new has come. And let me tell you, all of us have had a lot of stuff that has passed away through the grace of God. There's no condemnation here. There's grace here because God loves you. His power is here. His healing is here. His forgiveness is here. His freedom is here. So no matter where you are or what you're dealing with, you are in the right place. Amen? It's all right. The first service was very quiet too. It's okay. So we're going to look, you know, I love a good structure. We're going to look at what we are fair-proofing, why do we need to fair-proof our marriage, and how do we fair-proof our marriage. All right? So what are we fair-proofing? This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. They become one flesh. God's plan for marriage, one man, one woman, and a lifelong God-ordained covenant, which means committed, lifelong, loving relationship. To me, it's amazing how God has created this marriage thing. From the first couple, he created this marriage thing. And it's amazing to me that he takes two imperfect people united under a perfect God. Two imperfect people, two flawed humans that, but both created in the image of God, both equal value, equal worth, equal importance, both bringing different yet complementary attributes, right? You don't marry somebody just like yourself. That would be very boring. You marry people, the people tend to come together that have complementary attributes, complementary personalities. I'm like a I'm a big picture, bullet point, just do it kind of a guy. My wife, who she's more the high EQ, you know, people want to talk to her about their problems. They usually don't want to talk to me because she's, but together we're complementary, right? The amazing thing is that how God has designed this is that he somehow brings together this team of equals who are utilizing the unique God-given strengths that become greater as a whole than the sum of their parts. Greater, so together, greater in service of the kingdom of God, in service to each other, in parenting our children, in impacting the community. That's what God has intended marriage to be. And that is worth protecting, isn't it? It's worth a fair-proofing. That is what we're protecting. So, why do we need to fair-proof our marriage? Come on, Chris. We're all Christians here. We put on a good shirt and we smile when we greet people on Sunday morning. We don't need to talk about this. Well, actually, we do because, first of all, sex outside of marriage is destructive. The affairs and infidelity take such a huge toll on people. There's something about the intimate act that taking sex outside of its intended purpose and place turns sex from something, from a beautiful unifying force to a destructive force that rips apart at the very core that safety, the emotional intimacy, and the joy that it once enhanced. Affairs are costly. Affairs are painful. They destroy marriages. They destroy trust. They destroy that security. They destroy the family and the legacies and the reputations, the finances. Affairs can be very expensive, can't they? If one of the references I have up there is Proverbs 5 through 7. It's three chapters warning the son against adultery. And it's very interesting if you read through that how descriptive it is of the damage, the financial pain, the mental anguish that happens as a result of affairs. Affairs are something that we want to shun. We don't want it because they are very destructive. That's one reason why we must affair-proof our marriage. Another reason. Many have fallen. We must stay vigilant ourselves. We would fool ourselves if we think that we do not have to stay on guard against sexual immorality and adultery. We are encouraged to stay on our guard, to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. We must stay vigilant. I'll give you some examples of how many have fallen, so we must stay vigilant. David and Bathsheba, classic example. How many chapters in the Bible are written about David, King David, the man after God's own heart, who led Israel successfully and did great and mighty exploits? A lot. I haven't counted it, but just, you know, so a lot. There's a lot of chapters there. But even David, a man after God's own heart, fell because he looked where he shouldn't look. He pursued who he shouldn't have pursued. He slept with another man's wife and then murdered the husband to cover his immorality. Another example of the toll that takes is when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan in Psalm 51. He's actually confronted about that. And Psalm 51 is a bitter lament of the grief and the pain and the regret of what he did. So if David fell, then I need to be vigilant too, right? And in the early church, there was a recurring theme in Paul's letters was to the church to abstain from sexual immorality. Matter of fact, that if you look at those references that I had up on the screen earlier, a big chunk of those were the letters to the church saying stay away from sexual immorality. He told Timothy, his young protege, he said, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faithfulness, love, and peace, which I might have up here later. But also, you know what else he told Timothy? When he was instructing them how to treat people in the church, he said, treat older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger men as brothers, younger women as sisters, with absolute purity. Absolute purity. He stressed that. The early church had to deal with immorality. It was rampant, and God was calling them to live a life of purity, of keeping sex inside marriage where it belongs. So David had to deal with it. The early church had to deal with it. And people are still falling to sexual immorality today. Anybody know who those two people are? Anybody? Yeah. Ravi Zacharias, he's another California man. Philip Yancey, there you go. So for those of you who don't know, who haven't been listening, if you can remember the weekly tapes, getting your Bibles, messages on cassette tapes, they will probably have some of the Ravi Zacharias and probably with Philip Yancey as well. Ravi Zacharias was for 50 years, he was an author, Jesus Among Other Gods, and he was a speaker, very popular speaker. He spoke to politicians, to world leaders. He was an apologist who shared and reasoned with people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He passed away in May 2020. When he passed away, it came out that he engaged in a long-term pattern of serious sexual misconduct and abuse. When he was traveling around the world, he wasn't just preaching the gospel. Famous man, globally well known. The damage that would have done to his victims, the damage that it wreaked on his family, his widow had to kind of find out about this after he died and pick up the pieces. His reputation, gone. His ministry organization he set up, gone. It is extremely damaging, and that's what he suffered. And Philip Yancey, just 2 months ago. So Philip Yancey, the book Disappointment with God, the book What's So Amazing About Grace, another 40, 50 years as an author, a public speaker, just in January this year, admitted to an 8-year affair with a married woman. That 8-year affair started when he was 68 years old. 68. Having gone all that way to stumble at the end. Ministry success won't insulate us. Numbers of books sold won't protect us. And age won't immunize us from the temptations of immorality. That is why we have to recognize, listen, if it happened to David, it happened to the early church, it happened to these speakers, then I need to be vigilant as well. when I see these, I'm saddened when I see these Christians fall. And there are many others that we could name, but I never get arrogant thinking, oh, no. God's grace, God's reliance. And another thing I think we see is what keeps us from that is the vigilance, leaning on God. But also, I think that they fell to losing the fear of God. We don't talk much about the fear of God, but the truth is that it's very easy to lose the fear of God when we are so focused on the love and the kindness and the blessings and those great attributes of God that we lose sight of His holiness, of His righteousness, of His justice. Too often that happens to people. We think that, and listen, just check your mind here. If we are getting into the habit of thinking, look, all the books I sold, look, all the good things I did, I volunteer at this, I do the Thursday lunch, I do this, you know, I lead a Bible group, I've been a good boy for so many years. So it's okay if I dabble and indulge in sin over here. It's okay if I, it's just a look, it doesn't matter, it's just okay. If we think that we can get away with that, if we think that we can ignore God's precepts, we are sadly mistaken, because that's probably what happened there. Either, you know what, I can, it's okay. They probably knew the scripture. I'm sure they knew. David knew. But yet, they lost the fear of God and the recognition that God is not to be trifled with. His word is true. You don't just change it around to suit your liking. It was Paul was writing to the church, the believers in Galatia, in Galatians chapter 6, 7 and 8, and when he said, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life." We've got to be careful, and we've got to be vigilant against immorality. We cannot think that just because, you know, that we can't be kind of lazy and careless and say, oh, I've arrived, it'll never happen to me. Got to stay on your guard. Got to stay close to God. Got to keep that fear of the Lord. And we definitely, if we are thinking that God will excuse this sin over here, it's okay. Be careful. You may be losing the fear of the Lord. Why do we need affair proof for marriage? Because affairs and immorality are very damaging in many ways, because many others have fallen, and we don't want to fall as well. Right? So, how do we affair proof our marriage? Well, it's simple, but it's not always easy. But the grace of God is sufficient. Amen? God is more than able. How do we fair-proof our marriage? Guard your minds. When Jesus raised the bar, and he pointed out, they said, if you not only don't commit adultery, but don't commit adultery in your heart. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 and 15, which I'll go back to verse 13, says, when tempted, no one should say, oh, God is tempting me. Because God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by their own evil desires they are dragged away and enticed. Watch this progression. First, desire is conceived. Then, when it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You know, baby sin's cute. Baby sin's fun. But it grows up, doesn't it? Death of trust, death of relationship, death of marriage, death, you know, so much destruction. And the first thing we need to do, how very practical, okay, Chris, you convinced me, how do I protect my marriage? First of all, guard your mind. Recognize that affairs start where? They didn't. Affairs start where? In the mind. When we recognize that, that's where the battle is. That's where the choice is made. And so we need to be careful not to entertain those thoughts. Not to, as Job 31 says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. And also Romans 12, 1 and 2 says that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Christian, there is a way to guard your mind. Even in this fallen, internet world we live in, God is more than able. Amen? And it's in the mind that we choose to entertain the thoughts, to dwell on that man at the office who's kind of treats me nice, and he's a go-getter, and he dresses better than my husband. Entertaining those thoughts. Or we say, I will set my eyes on no vile thing. Or we say, you know what? I'm not going to even entertain that. God, replace the evil thoughts that would drag me away with the thoughts of your righteousness, with the thoughts of your goodness, with holiness. That is how we can guard our minds. Similarly, guard our behavior. Just like we have to guard our minds, we have to guard our behavior. Notice this here in Proverbs 5:8, 2 Timothy 2:22. And James 4, keep your path where? Way or far away? Keep your path far away from her. Don't even go near the door of her house. Flee the evil desires of youth. Pursue righteousness. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and the devil will and he will flee far from you. Protecting ourselves from the dangers of immorality is active, deliberate, and intentional. It's making the choice. I don't go near temptation. Go the opposite direction. We must actively choose to avoid putting ourselves in a position that can lead to compromise. So let's bring it home. Make the right choice of where your browsers go. Of what Netflix series you watch. Keep the flirting at home, not with that cute coworker. Keep the saucy text for your husband or your wife, nobody else. Also, choose not to say that hurtful thing to your wife or your husband that would drive a wedge in between you. And don't take the second look. Don't take the second look. When others are talking about how bad their partners are, you know how some people, maybe at the book club or at the school or wherever, they kind of like to talk about how bad their husband is or how bad their wife is. Oh, my old lady, she does. Oh, that's, you think that's bad. My wife does this or my husband. Don't join in that gang, okay? One of the things that Becky and I determined when early in our marriage is that we will not whinge to other people about each other. I know that Bex has my back, so even if they're trying to have a little, little gang at work about how bad their partners are, Bex got my back. Now, let me be very clear. That's whinging, that's kind of entertaining, that's kind of gossiping about each other. We do believe in counseling. We do believe in getting advice, right? So that's do you understand the difference? Okay? Just make sure that we're clear on that. So it is active. So we need to keep our conversations, our actions, our eyes where Jesus will be happy to join us. Let me say that again. By guarding our behavior, we keep our conversations, our actions, our eyes where Jesus would be happy to join us. Isn't the grace of God good? It gives us the power to transform our minds, to change our behavior. I like this, the scripture. Oftentimes you see people quoting, I think, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, that says, do not be deceived. The wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. They list all these sins, right? All these bad things, right? And you know what the next, and people stop there. They point a finger and say, oh, you're this, you're that, right? But you know what the next verse says after that? And such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The good news, church, and that's why I keep on coming back to the grace of God, that God is big enough. He's not afraid of your stuff. He's not afraid of whatever challenges you have. God is big enough to guard your mind, to help you make the right choices. 1 Corinthians 6 says about that when we are tempted, that He will provide a way of escape, that we may stand up under it. There's always an exit door with Jesus. Amen? So, guard your mind, guard your behavior. Now, this is a real shocker. Work at it and keep working, right? Surprise, let me just tell you, I know you see, you know, Beck and I, and you think, oh my goodness, they don't have any challenges. No, it's all wonderful. Listen, good marriages don't just happen. Any married people can say, good marriages don't just happen? Am I the only one? Good marriages don't just happen. They take work, don't they? Again, we're two imperfect people, you know, joined together to build a wonderful marriage relationship. It takes work. We don't live in a Hallmark Christmas movie. This is Waiuku, not Gingerbread Cove. And if money, and also here's another thing, if money and good looks were the secret to a good relationship, Hollywood would be the most stable, you know, marriage capital in the world. Am I right? Now listen, so I want to go through these five R's of how to build a successful marriage. Because it does take work. Don't let anybody think that, oh, if you just marry the right person, it'll all go okay. No, because we're two imperfect people, right? And we have challenges. We have the ups and downs. We have the pressures of life. We have in-laws. We've got work pressures. Life happens. But these five R's will help us develop the marriage that God has for us. So the first one is respect. Choose the lens of respect and appreciation. One of the things I pray, and if anybody asks me about marriage advice, is this. Pray every day that God will help you appreciate your spouse and not be critical. Because if you do not respect your spouse, if you do not appreciate your spouse, how do you love them? What does that leave you with? Just a contempt. Just a, he did it again. I think of this kind of progression as in, and this is why, the Bible talks about don't let bitterness get a foothold. Don't give Satan an inch when it comes to your relationship and how you view your husband or your wife. Because here's kind of the progression. Start looking critically, right? Oh, they don't do this right. They don't do that right. Oh, I wish they did this. I wish they did that. Oh, they don't do this, all this stuff. I am being cheated. This isn't the man that I wanted to marry. This isn't the Hallmark movie that I signed up for. So that contempt comes in. I can't stand him. He disgusts me. I deserve better. I'm going to go find it. Don't let disrespect and contempt get a toehold in your relationship. Choose the lens of respect and appreciation. Choose to see the good in them, what they're doing right, with the progress they're making. All right? Now, let me just make an important caveat here, okay? So everybody please listen up. This doesn't mean ignore the problems, okay? And this definitely doesn't mean if you are in danger, physical danger, financial danger, mental danger, don't get help, okay? I'm not saying let's be glossy and gloss over. I'm saying we go seek help for those things. But in general, we can choose, apart from those things that definitely need to be addressed, you choose to look, choose to look at your spouse positively. Okay? Are we very clear on that one? Good. Okay. And listen, if you're in danger now or there's some serious challenges in your marriage that needs to be addressed, come talk to us. Listen, let me also tell you this, church, that I'll bet you, no matter, because I think Satan often tries to isolate. that one lost sheep, get him away from the fold. Oh, nobody's gone through what you've gone through. Nobody's had that struggle. If they just found out what you did, they would kick you out, lock the door, never to return. Let me tell you, I will bet you that whatever you're going through, whatever challenge you're wanting to work through, there's probably 10 other people in here that have gone through the same thing and come out the other side. All right? God is good, and we are here to help. So, second thing, so respect, responsibility. Marriage is a covenant. It's not about the warm and fuzzies. It is a covenant. It is I am here to build a marriage with you. And in that covenant, it's about commitment. And we need to have the responsibility and take responsibility and ownership to fix the problems, like we just talked about earlier, and build a successful marriage. I'm shocked every time when somebody says, oh, you know, I had this bad relationship. It was all their fault. Really? Really? No issue? No common denominator here that maybe, you know, there's some issues there to deal with? We need to take responsibility and take ownership. We don't want to do the non-apology apology. Well, I'm sorry if you feel that way. Listen, if everything's somebody else's fault, then what's within your control to fix? The challenge is that nobody buys that idea that, oh, it's all somebody else's fault, generally, right? I need to take responsibility because things are my fault. And I can't do the no apology apology. Oh, Beck, sorry you feel that way. No, I need to say, I did this. I need to take ownership. I did this. It was wrong. It hurt you. Please forgive me, right? We need to, if you want a strong marriage, we need to take responsibility for building the marriage and take ownership for the part we play and the issues that we need to fix. You with me? All right. Relate. Spend time together. This too often, the busyness of life can squeeze out the time that a husband and wife spend together. Healthy marriages require time to nourish and cherish the relationship. Time just to talk and listen to each other. You know what? Since COVID did one good thing COVID did, is that because we couldn't go to the stores or whatever, Bex and I would just go for drives. And even today, we just go for a little drive. Away from our phones, away from the kids, away from the TV. We just go for drives and talk about our day. Hey, what's going on? We relate to each other. Listen, it doesn't need to be fancy, spending time together. It just needs to be done. Spend time together. Don't let the busyness of life and the pressures of life squeeze the time out. Romance. Now, what do you think about that statement at the bottom? Romance is a practice, not a personality trait. See, listen, we're not off the hook, guys. Probably some women too, but you can, you know. Oh, I'm just not romantic. I'm staunch. I'm not romantic. Now, listen, you don't have to be a romantic, but you need to be smart enough to get some romance going there. The bottom line is this: it is that romance is an expression of love through intentional actions that make another person feel valued, desired, and emotionally connected. It's not a single behavior. It's actually a pattern of gestures and words and attitudes. And that, in reality, it is a skill that you develop, right? Doesn't need to be big gestures and, you know, flower petals all over the living room when she comes home or something like that. Listen, it can be simple. So here's you know, Dr. Chris's prescription, right? Everybody's taking notes. Good. How does your husband or your wife know that they are valued, know that they're loved? Just do that. Just do more of that. Make sure you communicate whatever the love language is. Make sure that we are in the practice of valuing, of expressing our love, of being emotionally connected. Right? Amen. But flowers don't hurt either. Just to let you know. Alrighty. Fifth. The fifth R of a successful marriage. Resolve to make it work. Marriage, successful marriage, is not just a lifetime commitment. Oh, I committed to you at the altar. But it is a lifetime of committing. Of recommitting. Of saying, we're facing this new challenge, but honey, it's me and you and God against the challenge. It's not me and you against each other. It's when, you know, when the pressures of life come, when the bills come and you don't know how you're gonna pay them, when the diagnosis you don't want to hear, when you deal with the in-laws or the work pressures, the ups and downs, it is us against the problem. And we are committed to make it work. You say, I am committed to you. I'm committed to make this marriage work. I'm here for the long haul, and I will keep working. I will keep committed. We are both resolved to make the marriage work. So, we've covered a lot of ground. Let me wrap it up. This scripture has been in my mind this week as I've been preparing this message. That now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. God's design for your marriage is a beautiful, lifelong relationship that gets stronger and deeper with each passing day. It's worth investing in. It's worth protecting. It's worth staying vigilant against Satan's devices and the temptations that would turn us away from God's design to desires that wreak havoc and destruction. The good news, church, is that God is more than able. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, even in our minds, even in our behaviors, even in our marriage. His power working within us to help guard our minds, to help transform us by renewing our minds, to say no to the evil thoughts and to resist temptation. His power at work within us to guard our behavior, to flee the evil desires and pursue righteousness instead. His power at work within us to actively choose to avoid those areas of compromise. It's his power within us that can change the lens we look at our spouse through and develop a relationship and refresh, you know, think of like a plant that's kind of, it once was flowery, but then it's kind of got a bit beaten down by the sun and a bit dry. His power can bring that back to life and bring life to the flowers and vitality to the flowers and help us to change our relationship to one of respect, responsibility, relating, romance, and resolve. Church, this is good news. God's grace is here. His power is here to change, to heal, to set free. God is good. God is able. So, I want us to take a moment, and I'm not going to call you up, but I wanted you to take a moment with God right now. So everyone, just close your eyes and ask God, God, I need, if there's an area that as I've been speaking, God's been putting on your heart, oh, you need a bit more of this, or we need to guard our heart, or we need to do these things, give it to God. Say, God, I need your immeasurably more in this area. God, I need your grace. God, I need your power. Just take a moment. Talk to God now about whatever that is in your life. It's between you and God. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of immeasurably more, not according to our own efforts, but according to your power at work within us. And Lord, I know this has been maybe a challenging topic for many, but God, I know that you are faithful, that you are loving, that you are good, and you are more than able to help us guard our minds, guard our behaviors, and to work on the marriage to enjoy what you have for us. Lord, I pray your blessing on every person here, married or unmarried. Bless them. Let them see your immeasurably more in their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, listen, God is able, resources are available, and I want to invite, so we have this, we've actually cleared out some space here, so I think David and Irene are going to help me here as well. If there's anything that you want more prayer about, then please come up. It can be about this topic. It can be maybe it kind of touched on some other things that you want to pray through, or any other needs you have. We believe that God's power is here, that God's love is here, and his grace is here. So just come up. We'll just pray over here, and everyone else, you're dismissed to go to enjoy. Actually, no, we don't do tea and coffee, do we? Not this 11-1. Okay. Okay. Okay, good, good. All righty. So, bless you, church. God is more than able. If you want some additional prayer on any topic, come up and we'll just believe with you and stand with you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Be blessed.